The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, meaning same-sex couples who are legally married will be recognized by the federal government. The court also ruled in a case that basically makes same-sex marriage in California legal. But what about Michigan? In 2004, voters approved a state constitutional amendment banning recognition of same-sex marriage or similar union. What's the future of that amendment? What changes for same-sex couples legally married in another state but living in Michigan? Joining us now to discuss some of those issues are Larry Dubin. He's a professor at University of Detroit Mercy Law School. And Emily Devendorf. She is the managing director of Equality Michigan. Emily, first, there is a great deal of moral outrage among some people about what they feel is a violation of tradition of marriage. I wonder what you might have to say to those people who are concerned that this is a breakdown of tradition and morals, or that they fear discrimination against people who want to speak out or not serve same-sex couples in business as a way to show their disapproval of same-sex marriage or relationships.
Yes, I would say that the moral code of most Michiganders at this point also includes fundamental fairness. The average Michigander considers fundamental fairness to be a value, and within their definition of fundamental fairness is also equality across the board for the LGBT community. So equality regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, and that is a part now of Michigan citizens' value system. So the moral outrage that we're hearing is from the outliers, and it isn't something that we should be basing public policy on. It's certainly not something that the Supreme Court should be ruling based on, and I think today was a great assurance that we are starting to make rulings in the way of civil rights based on where the public is and also where our Constitution is, as opposed to where the outliers and the extremists are.
Larry, let's look at some of the legal questions here. For couples who were legally married in Washington, D.C., or one of the dozen or so states which allow same-sex marriage, and now live in Michigan, how will they benefit? Will they benefit from today's ruling?
Well, that's a complex question, and that goes to whether a judgment in a state that permits same-sex marriage will be given full faith and credit in a state that prohibits it. So that's kind of an unanswered question. If you ask the question, should that be the case, I would say yes. But I think the law has not developed to the point where there's clarity with respect to that issue.
There's some assumption, it seems, that the 1,000 or 1,100 different points in the law that deal with marriage as far as tax breaks and inheritance and all that will be honored by the federal government. Do we know that yet?
Well, I think according to the ruling to today, the states that lawfully permit same-sex marriage now constitutionally are mandated to afford those kinds of benefits to the partners of that marriage. That was essentially the ruling in the DOMA case today.
Yes, it sounds like the question is whether those federal rights will be honored in states where there is not marriage equality like Michigan, and the jury is out on that, and it's a good reason for Michigan citizens to lobby their federal legislators and also the Obama administration to create clarification in our procedures and our federal policies regarding marriage recognition and all of the benefits that come with relationship recognition, so that we can make sure that we are in accordance and creating policy in respect to the Supreme Court ruling today that is uniform and understandable across the board.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think political action will become very important on this issue because the courts in general, especially at the Supreme Court level, moves in an incremental fashion. I think we could trace civil rights issues involving race, and you can see that before Brown versus Board of Education, there was more than a decade of other cases that didn't quite hit the center of the issue that eventually brought the ultimate issue to the court with Brown. And I think the same thing is happening today. I think we're seeing the door open, and now there will be future litigation that will further broaden and define these various rights that we're talking about.
Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette this afternoon posted on Facebook to his followers, quote, "Today, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states, not the federal government, retain the constitutional authority to define marriage. Michigan's Constitution stands, and the will of the people to define marriage as between one man and one woman endures in the Great Lakes State," unquote. But there's a federal case already pending in Michigan looking at this issue. April DeBoer and her partner Jane Rose are challenging Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage. Now, this challenge originally began as an attempt to get second parent adoption for the children so that both of the women had parental rights and the children had two parents. But it changed a bit. Judge Bernard Friedman had said he'd wait on the rulings by the U.S. Supreme Court before deciding this case. How might these rulings affect Judge Friedman's decision?
Well, I think that we can't say that the decisions today are squarely on point to the issue that Judge Friedman is dealing with. But what I find interesting is if you look at the DOMA case and you see that it's a 5-4 case, and again, you're looking to see which way Justice Kennedy is going to fall on the decision, whether it's going to be the conservative bloc that wins or the more liberal bloc. Kennedy was not only the deciding vote, but he wrote the majority opinion. And there's some very strong language in there written by Justice Kennedy stating that there was no legitimate purpose, essentially, that would justify the discrimination against the litigant in that case who was involved in a same-sex marriage. No legitimate purpose. And his ultimate finding was that it was a violation of the Fifth Amendment. And there's a lot of language in his opinion that I think would give this Michigan case that's now pending the benefit to essentially find the Michigan ban to be unconstitutional.
So we'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, in the legislature, both in the Michigan House and Senate, there is a question of amending the state constitution to end the ban on same-sex marriage. It would require a 2-thirds majority by the legislature to see that happen. But given the tone and tenor of the legislature, mostly Republican, it doesn't seem that they'd get those 2-thirds majority. So it seems that the only way to get something before the people or to get the amendment changed is to allow petitioning for another vote on the issue as soon as 2016. Emily Devendorf, you've stated you're involved in organizing for that effort. Are the votes going to be there? It's only been 9 years ago when the voters said marriage is only for one man and one woman.
Yes, I believe the votes absolutely will be there in 2016 for us to repeal that constitutional ban. In just those years since the 2004 ban was put into place, there has been a complete reversal in terms of the public position on this issue. 59% were in favor of the ban at the time, and at this point, depending on what poll you look at, 56 to 57% are in favor of both repealing the ban and replacing it with full marriage equality for LGBT citizens. So I think that Michigan is ready. What we're lacking right now is Michigan legislative leadership and a Michigan government that wants to stand up for Michigan citizens and represent the values of Michigan citizens and fight for those relationships today. So we do intend to collect the necessary signatures, put those on the ballot, and we do intend to win.
There's been a lot of cheering by members of the LGBT community regarding today's rulings by the Supreme Court, but this seems to be just a first step toward equal rights for the LGBT community. Discrimination in employment, discrimination in housing, discrimination in public accommodations are all still legal in Michigan. How would you describe these decisions in the larger scheme of things? Let's start with you, Larry.
Well, I think that, you know, here again, you're absolutely right. The civil rights law in Michigan, I think, does need to be expanded to include gay people. And that would permit protection from a state statute with respect to employment and other issues that other groups similarly receive the protection against discrimination. This is a process, again, looking at prior Supreme Court cases leading up to today. Going back to 1986 and Bowers versus Hartwick, we had the United States Supreme Court upholding Georgia's sodomy law. In 2003, that was reversed in Lawrence versus Texas, recognizing that was unconstitutional. A similar law was unconstitutional. So there is the pathway now, and that's, I think, the significance, really, of today. This is not a terminal point, these cases that were decided today. It's really the opening of the door and the continuation of precedent. And now the important justice on this current court, anyway, is Justice Kennedy. And I think in terms of future elections, I think one of the interesting points is to see the tie-in between politics and judicial decision-making, and that a presidential election is very key to the Supreme Court justices who ultimately will be appointed when there is a vacancy, and that is going to have a big impact on the speed in which I think full civil rights are granted to gay people.
Larry Dubin, he's a professor at the University of Detroit Mercy Law School. Emily Devendorf, she is the managing director of Equality Michigan. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.